We'll head now north of Oakland to the city of Berkeley to cover a controversy over the sale of a historic post office. Earlier this year, demonstrators staged a campout on the steps of the building, which dates back to 1914. They don't want to see it go, but it's part of a much larger plan by the U.S. Postal Service to sell some of its $85 billion real estate portfolio. Investigative reporter Peter Byrne has written a book that explores the rationale behind the sales, taking on the behind-the-scenes issues that are forcing the Postal Service toward bankruptcy. The book is called Going Postal. U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein's husband sells post offices to his friends cheap. Peter Byrne joined me in studio, and I asked him if the problem boils down to the post office's reliance on so-called snail mail.
What you described is the widespread public perception that the internet is killing the post office, which is promoted by top-level officials. However, it's completely untrue. Think about it in this way. People are buying a lot of packages online these days. Who delivers those packages? There has been obviously a drop in the amount of first-class mail that is being sent through stamp buying and through bill paying, because people are communicating more by email. There's a something like 25% drop in that. But there's been a concomitant rise in the post office's delivery of packages. So actually, the post office would be in the black were it not for two things. One, first-class mail subsidizes junk mail. Junk mail, which is used mostly by corporations to send you advertising in the mail, does not pay its own way.
Why would they do that? I mean, very few people actually like getting junk mail, and so why would it be cheaper than it actually costs to distribute?
Well, first of all, junk mail works, which is why people send it to you.
Sure, but I mean, if they were charged more for sending out junk mail, then perhaps they wouldn't send as much.
Well, they could be, but the corporations that use junk mail, you know, represented by the Chamber of Commerce primarily and that type of organization, have lobbyists in Washington who spend their entire careers making sure that the Postal Service does not charge, does not raise the rates. The other factor that drove the post office into the red, into a deficit, is the most important factor. In 2006, Congress passed a law at the urging of Daryl Issa of California and
the congressman.
Congressman Daryl Issa, who is very right on the political spectrum, as it were, passed a law requiring the Postal Service to prepay 75 years worth of retirement health care benefits that amounted to about $55 billion, and to prepay it over a 10-year period, which meant that they instantly created a $5.5 billion annual deficit for the Postal Service, which had been profitable, which had been running in the black. Suddenly, it was in the red because it had to borrow money to pay this $5.5 billion annual vigorish, and it ran out of its borrowing capacity. It borrowed $15 billion from a government bank, and then it couldn't borrow anymore, and it stopped actually paying it. But on the books, it's running a deficit, which has given the politicians such as Daryl Issa and others the perfect excuse to say the post office is incompetent, it can't pay its own way, it should be privatized and run by private corporations.
And that's called the Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act, which is prepaying 75 years of pensions. Now, in Issa's defense, I mean, we're having all kinds of pension problems at all kinds of levels of government because people are not prepaying these things. So doesn't it make sense on some level if for an organization such as the Postal Service, a governmental entity, to prepay in advance because then they can ensure the future livelihoods of their employees?
Well, first of all, there's no government agency in this country that I know of that requires prepayment, nor any private corporation that would do such a thing. But the main thing is that the U.S. Postal Service has a monopoly on the delivery of mail, and it's a very valuable monopoly, and clearly the private sector would like to own that monopoly.
That's Peter Byrne. He's an investigative reporter who recently published the e-book Going Postal. U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein's husband sells post offices to his friends cheap, which brings us to Richard Blum, U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein's husband's involvement in the sales of post offices around the country.
One of the results of creating this arbitrary and false budget deficit for the post office was that it made it possible for post office officials and others to say, well, we need to raise ready cash. So the post office has an enormous amount of real estate. Only the military has more. So what happened was that in 2011, the post office awarded a contract to CBRE, CB Richard Ellis, which is the world's largest commercial real estate firm. The contract was to manage the sale and leasing of all of the post office's $85 billion worth of properties.
What is Richard Blum's relationship with CBRE?
He's the chairman of the board, and his investment group, Blum Capital Partners, owns the most powerful collection of shares. Now, CBRE was charged with selling the post offices to raise ready cash and selling these properties at their fair market value. My investigation showed that CBRE sold 52 properties for $166 million, but they were valued, they were assessed at a value of $232 million. The loss, if you account for some of the ones that were actually sold at the proper values, was approximately $79 million to the public.
Well, why did CBRE sell these properties for so much lower than the fair market value?
That's what I looked at. I was able to obtain the deeds of sale on most of the properties and track the local newspapers that were reporting on these deals. And what emerged was that CBRE sold at least 20% of these properties, some very high-value properties, to its own clients, to its own business partners, and in one case, to one of its owners, Goldman Sachs. And it sold them at huge discounts. In a real estate transaction, there's a concept known as arm's length, which means that the buyer has an agent and the seller has an agent. And generally, people don't have the same agent because each agent's duty is to get the best price possible. The buyer wants the highest price. The seller wants the lowest price. So it's like ludicrous to have one agent representing both because he's going to have to favor one or the other in the negotiations.
What's the bottom line? When you connect all these dots, what's your conclusion about what's going on with the U.S. Postal Service?
Well, the Inspector General suggested that there was contract fraud. I'm going to go more than that. I'm going to say that, in my opinion, is that it's a blueprint for an indictment. If there was a political will to indict the individuals that were associated with allowing this to happen, that includes high-ranking post office officials, it would be a dynamite case.